had another loss sustained in family and a funeral this past week, and it's always a difficult time, a testing time, trying time for God's people when they suffer difficulties and losses, and it's always a time to reflect upon the comfort of God and His blessings upon us. And today I want to think a little bit about the subject of the weight and the comfort. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 10, the weight, and when I say weight, I mean the W-A-I-T kind of weight, waiting. The weight and the comfort. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Let's go, Lord, in prayer before we go any further today. We thank you, Lord, and look to you as our only and all-sufficient strength today as we are here, and we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for your comfort that you give, and that we can be comforted through your word is a blessing, and we look for that today and hope that we can be of comfort one to another. And I just pray for your blessings today as we look to this passage of Scripture and to several others, that they might be a way in which that we can find relief from difficulty, and as well, Lord, be of benefit and be of help to others. And we just pray for your blessings now, that you'd get glory to your name as a result of this service. It's our desire to please you, and Lord, it is our desire to be a comfort to one another. And we'll give you the praise for what you do through Jesus Christ and his wonderful work. Amen. We see here a picture of the spirits of the just, of the Lord's people in heaven, who have recently been martyred by their enemies, treated unjustly, robbed of their dignity as human beings, and have been, their lives had been taken as a result. And they are now, as spirits in heaven, asking a question. And it causes some questions for us when we look at this and we consider this. We think about such a question being asked of the Lord's people. And these are those who had suffered greatly during this life. and we see words here that that express something as to a weight that is going on with these folk. And many suffer today who have lost loved ones, and we have some very specific and recent losses. Many who are suffering other kinds of losses and grieving with sometimes with no end in sight, and wondering perhaps what's the words of this text. When will the grief subside? When will this inexplicable difficulty and trial end? And when is the end of it? How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? It is clear that there are thoughts here concerning those who have done these folk wrong. There are thoughts here about how that this is and there's all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of griefs and hardships and losses that we have in this world. But we read of this one that's speaking about having to have a weight, And when is this going to subside? We've spoken. I was talking to Sister Rosie, and she was saying, talking about 2018. You know, we're getting close to the end of 2018. The calendar is getting, we're getting near the end of, it'd be nice if, you know, if in December that would be kind of a closed door to afflictions, to difficulties that we've sustained in this past year because they've been great and they have been many. And we'd like for that to be over. And we would also like personal griefs that we have sustained and the continued hurt that we endure and that comes up at times and that we have no real control over. We would like for that to be over. We would like for these things to be done with. And yet, we don't have control over them. And only the Lord knows. He knows the timing. He knows when it is that these things will end, when these things will subside, when we can get to a place in which that we're grieving less, and we can get to a place where we're hurting less, and we can sustain things perhaps a little bit more. But I want to consider today, when we're thinking about this question, how long, O Lord? Consider today the condition of saints like this and that may be in our lives and what our role should be toward those who wait for their misery in this life and the difficulty, as temporal as it is, to be over. First thing I want us to do is I want us to consider the conditions of this waiting. And then the second thing we're going to do, which will be the last thing, is consider our role toward these uncomfortable waiting saints. And it's interesting that when we look to the scripture, that there is a special place that the Lord gives for people who themselves are hurting, that they're being prepared for others who are hurting. They're being made ready for the ability to be of benefit to others. And in fact, sometimes it can be a mutual benefit that we can have toward each other. Those of our text here in this passage are waiting because they haven't seen their persecutors receive what's coming to them. That's what they're talking about. I mean, if we don't get anything else, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about, when is our blood going to be avenged? In other words, they've been wronged, and when is that wrong going to be righted? And yet they're still, even in heaven, even in this place that of their life, passed from this life, they still see that it hasn't been done. And you know, in this life, sometimes we feel hurt and wronged, and we can feel like something should be done. And sometimes we can even cry out against God as though that God has unjustly treated us, which he's never done, ever in the history of mankind, never unjustly treated anyone. But we can feel that way. And we look to the Psalms and we find that the psalmist felt that way sometimes, very strongly. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us that sometimes we're going to still hurt and we're going to feel the hurt that's a result of what's been done wrong and or what we feel has been done wrong. The loss, perhaps, that we've sustained causes them to be in a very interesting quandary here in this passage. In Psalm chapter 6, let's look at a few of the Psalms here quickly. Psalm chapter 6 and verses 1 through 10, we're considering the condition of those who are waiting. In Psalm 6, look at verse 1, and you read this entire psalm, and then I want us to really pay close attention to verse 3, what it says. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Healing is needed sometimes as God's people, as a result of grief, like the psalmist is enduring. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim, my water, my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. The psalmist here is clearly concerned about the hurt that he is enduring and when it's going to end. But he's also concerned about justice. He's also concerned about justice being done and that the end that his enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. It's Psalm chapter 6 and verse 10. And that his enemies be ashamed and sore vexed, just like in Revelation. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? That feeling is a real human feeling. That feeling of feeling the hurt and continuing to feel the hurt from the loss and from the hardship that we're sustaining. Verse 3, back to verse 3, my soul is sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? How long? When is it going to end? When will this grief that we're sustaining, when will it end? In Psalm 94, in verses 3 through 5, Psalm 94, in verse number 3, the scripture says, Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? You ever ask yourself that question? You ever think, how long are those that are so wicked? And clearly the psalmist is talking about people who've been wicked against him, who have hurt him. And he says, how long are they going to triumph? How long, verse number 4, how long shall they utter and speak hard things? They're still hurting me. They're still doing things. And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. How long will this end before this ends? How long? In verse 5, they break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. The psalmist is grieving. The psalmist is hurting because someone's hurt them. The psalmist is hurting at this time because, and like I say, it could be somebody else, it could be God, it could be, but they feel this hurt and it's real. And the question is, how long before it ends? And they're not in control of that. They can't put a time period on it. They can't say, okay, I'm done, I'm finished. No, you ask how long? You don't know how long it's going to be. Boy, I'd love to. I wish there was some little class that I could go to. Seriously. I wish there was some little class that I could go to and someone could tell me, okay, here are the steps. These steps you take and you'll be done grieving. I would love for that to be the case. But I guarantee it doesn't exist. And I guarantee that it's in God's hands entirely when this ends, when it happens. And he is in control of it. And it will end. It was going to end for the saints that are being spoken of in the future. It's going to end for us. The grief and the time of mourning and sorrow, it will end. Psalm 69. And we get closer to our next point. But Psalm 69, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul." You ever feel like you're just drowning? That's what he's talking about. The psalmist is saying, hey, I'm just drowning. I'm drowning in grief. I'm drowning in sorrow. He says, "I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. There's no stability there. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." Just being overwhelmed. "I'm weary," verse 3, "of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." These times of difficulty and trial, they're times of waiting. They're times of having to wait on the Lord. Look down to verse number 20. This continues, but look at verse 20. "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none." That's sad. That's sad that the psalmist could find no comforters. That the psalmist could find no one that would just simply take pity. That would be pitiful. That would just listen. That would just hear. And there couldn't find a comforter. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 4, the Word of God tells us there's a special blessing for mourners, right? Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 4, the Scripture tells us here, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." He says there's a special blessing for those that are mourners. Mourning is not just a disease to get over. Mourning is something that God plans and that God has for us and that God prepares for us. And there's a sense in which that knowing that and understanding that, that it should be that we can know and we can have some comfort in that, that God has this as part of the design for our life, and he doesn't do anything for us but what it's good for us. He loves us dearly, and he cares for us, and he works everything out for our good, for the good of them that love the Lord. And so there should be a little comfort in the mourning, the grief that we endure. That it's real. It's part of our life. It's part of our spiritual development as God's people. It's part of what he's doing for us. In Psalm 40, if you turn with me over to one other psalm here. Psalm 40. Okay, there's probably a couple more, but anyway. Psalm 40. Don't make any promises. I'm going to break. Psalm 40 and verses 1 to 3. "I waited patiently." Well, here it is again. Waited. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit." Listen to that description. Out of a horrible pit. Now, the psalmist was not, David was not in hell. He was not literally in a horrible pit, but he was, his soul was in a horrible pit in the sense of grief and hurt, anguish. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. You see that? Something he didn't have before. Something he didn't have before. A way to praise God that he did not have before, that he never had experienced. He did not have the experience to praise God in the manner that he's now able to praise God. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. The Lord's got a reason for taking him through this grief, this horrible, taking him into this horrible pit where there was miry clay. He couldn't find his foothold. He couldn't do anything. He's in quicksand almost, so to speak. And the Lord reached down as he waited patiently. As he's waiting there in that place, there in that grief, there in that hurt, they're in that misery, and the Lord, in his time, after much patience by the psalmist, reached down and lifted him out and put him on a solid rock, and he's got a new song now that the Lord delivered him. The Lord rescued him. The Lord took care in the most difficult places in his life that he'd ever experienced, the most difficult hardship that he'd ever experienced in his life, the Lord comforted him. The Lord relieved him of it. And God will bless. But we have to wait. And we have to wait patiently. And that's not easy. Sometimes it's a long time. We don't know how long. Sometimes it's a very long time before our own personal wait is going to end. But we're not in control of it. And we can't say, Lord, now's the time. Because we don't know the time. He's the wise one. He's the one that knows. He's the one that has our best interests at heart. He's got a song for us. But we got to go through this horrible pit before we're going to be able to sing it. But we will sing it. Now let's consider our role toward these uncomfortable waiting saints. We're among them right now, right? We know that. But at the same time, let's consider our role, at least for the future, for people who may go through the same kind of things that we go through. First of all, realize that their Lord, the ones that are going through this, and of course they're the Lord's people, their Lord cares about their every grief. He cares about their every pain. He pities them. He pities us. He cares about every pain we have. He cares about every grief we have. He cares about every tear that falls, right? Ever hurt? Psalm 56 and verse number 8 specifically tells us that. Psalm 56 and verse number 8, we read the scripture. It says, thou tellest, in other words, he's counting. Thou tellest my wanderings. You know everything about them. Put thou my tears in thy bottle, are they not in thy book? And the Lord does. And there's other scriptures that tell us that. He takes every tear and he's bottling it up. He's keeping it, not literally, but in the sense of him feeling and knowing the trials and the anguish that we are going through. He feels them. He knows them. They're real to him. He He experiences them with us. You remember Job's friends? You say, oh, why'd you bring them up? Not very good friends, huh? Sometimes friends are more like enemies, really, in some ways. Job 16 and verse number 2. Job 16 and verse 2. The scripture says, I have heard many such things. Job is answering. Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are y'all. I mean, here he is. He's going through this terrible time of grief. And they've got all this correction for him. Here's what you need to be doing. Here's what you should do. Here's the reason why you're going through this. You know, they got all the answers. Miserable comforters. That's not comfort. It's not comforting at all. Miserable comforters are you all. Chapter 19 and verse number 2. Chapter 19 and verse 2. Verse 1, it's Job again. Then Job answered and said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? Who's he talking to? He's not talking to God. He's talking to people who should have known how to comfort someone. He's talking to somebody who should have some pity. But he says, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? What were they doing? They were trying to correct him. They were trying to show him how he had done wrong. And that's all they wanted to do. And he's going through this time of, God has put upon him this time of tremendous hurt and grief. And they can't be a comforter. They can't listen. They can't pity him in his time of difficulty. Chapter 29 and verse 25. Job 29 and verse 25. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. As one that comforteth the mourners. There is a sense in which we should be, and Job is saying that's what he would be, we should be comforters of the mourners. You know what the best part of, of the three friends of Job was? Look back to chapter 2. Best thing they did, should have stopped right there in chapter 2. We've looked at this before. Verse 11 to 13. Job chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. If they would have just stayed here the whole time and not gotten into all their correction and all their wanting to beat him up for some reason. Chapter 2, verse 11 says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. If they'd have just done that, it'd have been great, right? Then they'd have been a comfort to him. It's not the time of comfort. The time of grief is a time when we need folk to come alongside us and grieve with us. To hurt with us, to mourn with us, right? That's what's needed, is mourning with us. Verse 12 says, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. They wept. That's part of the comfort that the Lord would have us to give to somebody else. They wept. And they rent everyone his mantle. What are they acting like? They're acting like Job. That's what they're acting like. They see Job in this condition, this broken condition, and so they're putting themselves in that same condition. And he says, and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. In other words, they're praying for him. They're grieving over him. They're concerned for him at this time. It's touching them. So they sat down, verse 13. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Oh, that these three friends would have just kept going, doing the same thing. Because they thought that after 7 days, the time of mourning is over. Hey, you're still grieving after 7 days. We came and we grieved with you and we wept with you and we prayed with you, but now you're still grieving. How long, O Lord? How long? They're not in control. Job was not in control of the time of the grief that he would endure. God was in control of that. And his three friends should have realized that, should have known that, and should not have ever gone down the next step of all their words of criticism and words of hurt that didn't do any good at all. There's an appropriate setting for instruction, and there's an appropriate setting for challenges like they brought unto Job, but this was not the time. It was not the time. A lot of their challenges were wrong anyway, but even the ones that were right were totally out of time. It was correct for them to just listen. It was correct for them to just grieve with him, to go along with him at this time. And as we suffer afflictions ourselves, as we're going through the time of suffering difficulties and afflictions personally, ourselves, we're given the capacity to be the right kind of comforters to other saints who are waiting on the Lord to bless. We're being prepared to be able to do that and to help others that are going through great difficulties. The Lord himself, we said he's got the tears, he's holding the tears in the bottle. He's keeping up with the tears. He knows every tear that we're crying. Well, we ought to be concerned about those tears too. We ought to be concerned about those sorrows. We want someone to be concerned about ours, don't we? Every one of us do. We want people to be concerned about when we're going through grief. We need to be concerned. We need to be touched. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. I love that word, touched, in Hebrews chapter 4. Are we touched? The Lord was touched and is touched. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirm feelings. You say, how? You need to get away from your feelings. The Lord says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It's difficult. When we're going through hardship, we're going through grief, and we're going through mourning, it's feelings. That's what it is. It's a bunch of feelings all welled up. And sometimes it can be a loss here and a loss there. And as we all know, 2018 has been a tough year. It can be great losses being sustained. It can be hurts that loved ones have at certain times in our lives. And it just mounts up and it becomes feelings of infirmity, feelings of weakness that we can't endure it. And the Lord's touched with those feelings, isn't he? He's touched. He's not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, all points tested, like as we are, yet without sin. He knows because he's been through it. When we go through it, we know what it is. When we go through it, we learn something big that we didn't know in the past. At all. We didn't feel it in the past. We say, we would go and we would seek to grieve with others and seek to weep with others and seek to be of benefit to others. And we did our very best, and that's as good as we could do. But until we go through the great grief and trials and the temptation that he said that Jesus went through, until we go through those temptations, until we go through those trials, until we are put in that terrible, that horrible pit and stuck in that miry clay, we really don't know what it is to be delivered from it. And we don't know how good the Lord is. And we don't understand how he does it, how he can comfort and how he can sustain and how he can help us. Hebrews 4:15 says, he's touched. Are we touched? If we go through this grief, let's learn something from it. Let's dig deep and let's take with us all the lessons of how the Lord comforted us through others. And let's seek to be a comfort to other people, to those that are in need. What does it mean? Romans chapter 12, verse 15. The tears. The Lord knows the tears, right? Counts them. Has them in a bottle. He knows. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But look with me here to Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. He says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. What does that say? One thing it says is timing is everything. Timing is everything. If they're rejoicing, rejoice. If they're grieving, grieve. If they're hurting, hurt. If they're weeping, weep. Just like Job's friends started out the right way. The right things. Feel it. Be touched with the grief that others have got. Be touched with it. Listen. Sit. Sometimes close our mouth, you know. We got so many things that we think we can say. And sometimes we don't need to be saying anything. We need to be listening. We need to be feeling what other people are feeling. And they're just times. Timing is everything. Weep with them that weep, but rejoice with them that rejoice. You say, oh, this person's all bowed down in despair and everything. And you come up to them, I'm gonna fix it for them, you know? And you're gonna say, oh, I got this really good joke. I gotta tell you this joke so you'll feel better. Sure. Timing's everything, right? Not a good time to be telling jokes, right? Go to the funeral. You know, you're gonna comfort everybody. Everybody's gonna have a big smiling face on their face after you tell a big joke to everybody. Timing is everything. Weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. They're in a mood for a good joke. For small talk, for a good joke, then small talk. Good joke is what they need. It's what they need. Good thing. Nothing wrong with it. If they're in a state of being challenged, then it's time to challenge. They're in a state in which you know that this is a time in which, you feel it. Is this a time for you to be challenged about everything in your life, about different things that go on in your life where that you need correction and such as this? No, I'm grieving. I'm hurting right now. I need somebody to hurt with me. I need somebody to come along with me and just listen and feel what I'm feeling. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll close with this passage. When I say close, that doesn't mean it's going to be real fast, but because there's a lot said here. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we all know this passage. when it comes to comfort. The Lord is such a comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and start with verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. He's merciful. We should be merciful. And the God of all comfort. We need people to be merciful to us and to be comforting to us when we're needing comfort, when we're grieving. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. When? When we're going through tribulation, right? When we're going through hardship. We're going through trials. We're going through affliction. We're going through when we're in the horrible pit. He says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? Why are we going through this? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Not the same trouble necessarily, but in any trouble. In whatever trouble. Because grief is kind of universal. I mean, there's grieving over different kinds of things in life. There's grieving over a loss that's sustained, or there's grieving over some other kind of hurt that we may sustain. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How did God comfort us? And especially as it relates to through other saints, other people. How does he comfort us through other people? How do we want to be comforted by someone? And then let's be used of God to be of comfort to someone else. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so we're experiencing now the sufferings of Christ. We're experiencing, going through trials, we're not in control of, the Lord is, just like Christ did. Went through, submitted himself to the cross, even the death of the cross. We're submitting ourselves to, and we're going through, and we're forced to yield to the affliction and the suffering that God has for us. The sufferings of Christ, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Do they ever abound? Oh, yeah. We could all put 2018, you know, on our life's calendar and say, the sufferings of Christ abound sometimes in us. We know that. So as the sufferings of Christ, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Our ability to comfort is abounding when the sufferings are abounding. As, he says, not just in the future, but even as. And I look at that and I say, that means I need to be comforting now. You know, as the tribulations abounding, as the sufferings of Christ in me are abounding, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That we can be, when you're feeling it yourself, it's the easiest time in the world to be able, it should be the easiest time, it's not, I know it, feel it. But it should be the easiest time in the world to be of comfort to someone else who's going through trouble when you're going through it yourself, when we're going through it ourselves. Verse 5 is a pretty tough verse to read. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, we want to crawl into a corner. We want to get in bed and pull the sheets and the covers over our head. We want to bury ourselves. We don't want anybody else around. We want to feel the aloneness of the sorrow and the aloneness that the Lord God has put upon us. And we do, and it's not wrong to, but at the same time, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So we look at this passage and we say, and we look at Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 10, and the question is, they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And the Lord's concerned about them. The Lord cares about them, just like he cares for all of us. He feels our every pain. He bottles our every tear. He's hurt by our hurts. God is not a God that doesn't have feelings, right? He does feel. He's hurt by our hurts. And as God's people, would it be wrong for God to weep? Jesus wept. And he feels our feelings. And I believe that he tells us, as we look to the Word of God, that we should also be, through the difficulties, through these trials that we're going through now, we're in a class. We're in a lecture hall. We are in a classroom setting where that the Lord is instructing us and giving us help on how to comfort somebody else. And we need to take notes. Say, because we need to know, well, how am I comforted? What is it that the Lord has done for me? How has the Lord used someone else to be a comfort to me? That's what I want to do in comforting someone else. That's what I need. I don't need anything else. I don't want to be a Zophar. I don't want to be a Bildad. I don't want to be an Eliphaz. I don't want to be that kind of person that says, well, your time's up. Grief and mourning are all should be over after this many days. You know, no. God's in control of that. How long? Well, maybe a year. How long? No, the question keeps going. How long? We don't know how long. And we're not in control of that. And you can't fix it for somebody else. You can't make it shorter. But you can be a comfort. And the Lord can give us that ability to just come alongside and be a comfort to other saints, who are going through whatever kind of suffering, all different kinds of suffering that they may be enduring. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us today. And strengthen us, we pray, and give us grace, Lord, just to get through the suffering that we're going through. But also give us grace, Lord, to be instructed by it. And help us, Lord, to be of a help and a comfort to others who are in need. And we just pray for your blessings upon us, that you might make us more like Christ, cause us to have more your heart. And we ask for your blessings now, and your comfort and your strength upon us in our lives, and wisdom. And we pray, Father, for your blessings on all those who are going through difficult times right now, in whatever respect, whether it's a health need, or whether it's relational need, or whether it's loss, Lord, in the family. We just pray for your blessings. We pray for your comfort to be upon them, and you'd help us, Lord, to be a comfort unto others. Strengthen us and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.